evam getva kritam karma purvair api mamukshavi kuru karme vatasmatvam purvai purvataram kritam. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding and so attained liberation. Therefore, as the ancients, you should perform your duty in this divine consciousness. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are two classes of men. Some of them are full of polluted material things within their hearts, and some of them are materially free. Krishna consciousness is equally beneficial for both of these persons. Those who are full of dirty things can take to the line of Krishna consciousness for a gradual cleansing process, following the regulative principles of devotional service. Those who are already cleansed of the impurities may continue to act in the same Krishna consciousness, so that others may follow their exemplary activities and thereby be benefited. Foolish persons, or neophytes in Krishna consciousness, often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna's desire to retire from activities on the battlefield was not approved by the Lord. One need only know how to act. To retire from activities of Krishna consciousness and to sit aloof making a show of Krishna consciousness is less important than actually engaging in the field of activities for the sake of Krishna. Arjuna is here advised to act in Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of the Lord's previous disciples, such as the sun god Vivaswan, as mentioned herein before. The Supreme Lord knows all his past activities as well as all those persons who acted in Krishna consciousness in the past. Therefore, he recommends the acts of the sun god, who learned this art from the Lord some millions of years before. All such students of Lord Krishna are mentioned here as past liberated persons engaged in the discharge of duties allotted by Krishna. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding and so attained liberation. Therefore, as the ancients, you should perform your duty in this divine consciousness. It is said in Mahabharata, Mahajano yena katha sapanta, that the true path of liberation is simply to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. In fact, without great devotees of the Lord, who by their exemplary behavior show how to attain the perfection of life, it is impossible for anyone to understand the truth. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that you can study all the Vedas and all the scriptures in the world, and you will never understand the essence of what is within them. You can have a theoretical understanding and become very proud of your scholarship, and you can become very, very highly moral, and you can perform a lot of sacrifices and austerities, and you can perform many, many rituals. But you will not understand the essence of religion, the essence of true spirituality. Mahaprabhu explained that the exemplary behavior of the devotees who have surrendered their lives to the Lord, through that only can we understand the true essence of the scriptures. and the perfection of religion. So Krishna is here explaining to Arjuna that all the liberated souls in ancient times, they acted by this principle, that Krishna, or God, is the proprietor of everything. Everything is meant for his enjoyment, and he is the well-wishing protector and friend of all living beings. With this faith, such devotees strive for purification and their every act, their every word, and their every thought is an offering of devotion for the pleasure of Krishna, for the satisfaction of God. And through the great scriptures of the world, we read and we hear about so many great personalities who had this quality. We find it is peculiar that in all the great religions of the world, the qualities of compassion, mercy, self-control, willing to sacrifice for the sake of others, contentment, peace, and utter devotion in ecstatic love to God. It is common amongst all saints. Therefore, Krishna says in Gita, sarava dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarava papebhyo mokshayishami masucha, that we should abandon all varieties of religion and just learn the process of surrendering to Krishna, to God. Real spirituality is the process of developing godly qualities. It is not a question of simply proudly boasting that I am a Hindu, or I am a Muslim, or I am a Christian, or I am Jewish, or I am Jain, or I am Parsi, or I am Sikh, or I am of any other affiliation. Spirituality means to strive to purify our heart and manifest godly qualities through our life in devotion to God. And can you imagine if all people of all religion were considering this to be the real understanding? This is what Sanatan Dharma means. Would there be conflict? Would there be prejudice, racism, sectarianism, fanaticism, violence, hatred, death? Not at all. It is because people do not understand the truth, the essence, which is Sanatan Dharma, that our eternal nature, the constitutional position of the soul, is to love God and to be the servant of God and to love God in the service of all living beings. This is Sanatan Dharma. To release the energy of pure love from the very essence of our soul and offer it 24 hours a day in great feeling and knowledge at the feet of Krishna. That is Sanatan Dharma. That is real religion. That is the perfection of life. And how to attain that? It is by the association of sincere devotees that we can really and truly get a grasp of this truth. There is a story in Chaitanya Bhagavat about the great devotee of the name Haridas Thakur. At one time, he was living in a village. It is called Pulia. And there, he was so humble, so gentle, but so determined to inspire everyone to love God. And he understood that there is one process which is so easily accessible to all classes of men and women, to bring them to the highest platform of pure devotion, liberation, and that is the chanting of God's holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see, Haridas Thakur, he understood that in order to preach, I must follow. Anyone can tell people, give up smoking cigarettes. But if you're smoking cigarettes, who will take your word seriously? You can say, give up eating meat. But if you're eating meat, who will take you seriously? Similarly, we can tell people the glories of chanting the holy names of God. But the fact is that our actions speak louder than our words, and that is an eternal principle. Therefore, Haridas Thakur, out of compassion for all living beings, he made a vow to chant the holy name of Krishna a minimum of 300,000 times every day, and he would not eat or drink until he fulfilled that vow. That happens to be, I believe it's 192 rounds of chanting the full mantra on each bead. Narmala. 16 rounds takes about 2 hours. How long would it take to chant 192 rounds? Huh? Anyways, he would occupy a good amount of his time chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And his idea was that by showing this sacrifice of surrendering my consciousness to the holy name, people will take me seriously when I preach to them the glories of the holy name. And he was also thinking like this. He was so humble that if I'm not constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna, then immediately Maya will conquer my mind. This is the humility of a devotee. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. And the great souls never think that they're so advanced that they can relax in their devotional principles. The more advanced you become, the more you realize how powerful this material energy is, and the more exceedingly careful you are to keep your mind always in Krishna. Just like our own Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, one time he was sitting in a small room in Boston, Massachusetts. And he had small deities of Radha Krishna that he would worship. And Prabhupada, with such sincerity, with tears in his eyes, he was looking at Radha and Krishna. And then he turned and he said, I am simply praying to Radha Krishna 24 hours a day. Please protect me from Maya. And that it is because of his purity in Krishna consciousness, his most exalted and highly esteemed position, that he was explaining as an example for us, that if such a great personality is always cautious and very careful to keep his mind on Krishna, otherwise it will be swept away by material influences. What is our position? How careful and cautious we should be throughout the day and night. And also, because of his supreme humility, such great personalities actually feel that only Krishna can save me. Only Krishna can protect me. Without Krishna, I am nothing. Without remembrance of Krishna, I am worse than dead. In fact, material people in this world, they're so much afraid of death Who here can honestly say that they fear not death? We want to forget death. We want to hide our minds from the reality that death is inevitable. But yet, despite all our grand arrangements, we see that death is all around us, and it is also approaching you and me. But a devotee who becomes purified in advance in Krishna consciousness does not fear death. Why? Because he knows that for the soul there is no death. Na hanyate hanyamane sarire. The soul cannot be cut into pieces by any weapon. It cannot be moistened by water, nor burned by fire, nor withered by the wind. Najayate mriyate va kadachin ayanbhutva bhavata vana puja. The soul is eternal, unborn, and immune to death. What is dead is always dead. And what is always alive. It is a fact. Matter is always dead. This body of yours is dead. It's the soul, which is alive, that animates it. Really, what is death? When the soul leaves this body, the soul remains as it is. Just goes to a different location. And which location it goes to is determined by your life now. But when the soul leaves this body, it simply leaves a dead body to be dead. That's all. Is it such a great tragedy? What's dead is always dead, and what's live is always alive. It's just a question of the location of the soul. So a devotee who understands these spiritual principles is not afraid of death. But the more we advance in Krishna consciousness, the more we become afraid, fearful of forgetting Krishna. Because forgetting Krishna is worse than death. Remembering Krishna is eternal life. And how to always remember Krishna? How to chant the holy names in such a way that we're actually remembering Krishna? This is difficult. Many of us are thinking like this, that I chant the holy name for so many hours a day, for so many years of my life, but I really cannot feel that I'm remembering Krishna. It seems mechanical. It seems like a ritual. But I'm not experiencing the glory of God within his name. What am I doing wrong? In this regard, I would like to narrate part of a wonderful story. We read about Haridas Thakur. He was chanting the holy names of the Lord 300,000 times a day. Because he knew if he ever stops chanting, he may forget Krishna. And he also knew that by chanting constantly, he will have the power and the potency to convince others to take the name of Krishna. So he became very popular. And in this world, you know, to the degree you become popular, you become unpopular. Huh? To the degree people respect you, people will disrespect you. It is a fact. It is the nature of human consciousness is to be envious when we are in this conditioned state. So Haridas happened to be born in a family of Malechas. He was born in a family of Muslims. And at that time, there was some amount of rivalry, not between the Muslims and the Hindus. In those days, the Muslims and the Hindus got along together wonderfully, like brothers and sisters. The conflict was between the Muslim leaders, the so-called religious leaders, and the caste Brahmins. They considered each other threats. But the local people, you chant Allah, I'll chant Krishna, Haribo. We're all of the same God. There was no problem. But Haridas, he had such love and devotion to Krishna naturally within his heart that he was always preaching to everyone, just chant the holy names of Krishna. Just chant the names of God. It is not a question of sectarian idealism. It is a question of simply purifying your heart and becoming perfect in God's name. So wherever he would go, thousands upon thousands of people would fall at his lotus feet, seeing his compassion and his purity and his willingness to sacrifice his life even for the least amongst beings. He was willing to give up his life even for the lowest criminals who hated him, if he could somehow or other help them closer to God. In the Christian religion, we find the same idea in the life of Lord Jesus. This week, Christians all over the world, they are celebrating Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter, which is the time when this great personality showed that he was willing to sacrifice and give his life to help set an example by which others can become lovers of God. It is a fact. All he had to do is stop preaching and just go off into a cave and love God himself, and nobody would have bothered him. But his preaching was a threat to materialistic religionists and to politicians. And we know what he endured for the sake of the children of God. Haridas Thakur, such an exalted personality he was, that the Qazi, who was in a very high position of leadership, he became envious of him. He hated Haridas. He went to the governor and he told the governor that this Haridas Thakur, he is ruining the Muslim faith because he has such charisma and he's so convincing that hundreds and thousands of our own people are chanting the names of Krishna. What can be worse than this? And meanwhile, the caste Brahmins of the Hindu faith, they hated Haridas because they were thinking that he's so popular and he's converting everyone to chant the names of God and he's giving the name of God freely and we're charging lots of money to give these mantras. And he's going to put us out of business. And he's teaching that anyone can be God conscious and anyone can become a guru. And we're teaching that we're the only gurus because we're born in the right caste and everybody must surrender to us forever in this life. So what will happen to our careers as Brahmins if people listen to him? So the governor, under great, great pressure, he put an arrest warrant out for Haridas Thakur. And when Haridas heard that they were coming to arrest him, he didn't try to hide or run away or become a fugitive. He just thought, oh, If they want to talk to me in the prison house, then I will just go. It's Krishna's arrangement. So he just, by his own free will, he just gracefully, without any anxiety in his mind, he just walked into the prison house on his way to see directly the governor. Completely immersed in the thought of Krishna. Meanwhile, all the prisoners, they heard that Thakur Haridas is coming to our prison. We know who he is. He's the greatest Vaishnav. He's the greatest saint there is. If we simply see him, we will be free from all of our sins and liberated from this terrible confinement. So as Haridas was coming to the governor's quarters, all the prisoners on all sides, they were rushing to see him. And when they cast their glance upon Haridas, and they saw his most virtuous and loving form, they all began to offer their prostrated obeisances, and with folded palms and great humility, they just looked upon him, begging for his mercy, begging for his blessings. And then Haridas gave them his blessing. My blessing to all of you is that you remain in the condition you are in now for the rest of your lives. Arrivo!
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 This was not the blessing that they expected. They were thinking that by his grace they would be released from prison. So they became very much in distress. And Haridas Thakur, who was always very sensitive to the feelings of others, he could understand that they were in great distress. And he took pity upon them. He said, "My dear brothers, you are all considered the lowest people in society. You are considered the criminals, the people nobody wants around, the people who should be behind bars to keep you away from society. Who is a lower class of people in society's eyes than criminals?" He said, "But try to analyze very carefully what I have just told, what blessing I have just given you. Remain in the condition that you are in now for the rest of your lives. What is the condition that you are in now? Your palms are folded in humility. You are turning toward a sadhu, a devotee of God, in complete helpless feeling, begging for his mercy. In this humble state of mind only can you receive the blessings of God. Therefore, what I am telling you is that this consciousness of yours, you should remain like forever. Because I tell you this, that a prisoner in prison is aware that he's in prison. Therefore, such a person is in more advanced consciousness than a person outside who thinks that they're free. Because we are all prisoners of our own material attachments. And they are keeping us bound by hand, by foot, around the neck, and we have no power to escape. One who realizes that I am in the shackles of the prison of material desire is a man who can actually start making preparations to get out. But I tell you this, that within 3 or 4 days, you will all be released from this prison. And at that time, life will become very dangerous. Because you will be associating with worldly people who are greedy, who are constantly endeavoring for more and more and mere and more material prosperity for their own sense enjoyment, and who are constantly endeavoring again and again and again to enjoy this mind and senses as their goal of life and to give such sense gratification to their so-called loved ones. If you associate with such worldly people, you have no hope. You have no chance of release from the prison of death. And you will not be able to properly chant the name of God in that worldly association, because you will become proud and you will become illusioned. Therefore, my dear brothers, when you get out, even if you go back to your families, even if you engage in some business or some professional occupation, your consciousness should never depart from the condition that it is in right now, with folded palms, begging for the mercy of the saintly persons. In that consciousness, you can free yourselves forever. You can dive deeply into the infinite ocean of love of God by simply chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And the prisoners, then they understood what Srila Haridas Thakur was saying. And by his own example, after this, he entered into the governor's office. And with folded palms of humility, he offered his greetings to the governor. And the governor's heart melted when he saw him. And he offered him a very esteemed seat of respect. And Haridas said, "I think that you called for me. Here I am. How can I serve you?" In this way, Srila Haridas Thakur, he exhibited the true qualities of a devotee. They told him, "You give up this chanting in public and we'll let you go. But you keep preaching, we have to kill you." Ultimately, he was sentenced to death. He was beaten in 22 marketplaces with sticks by terrible, ferocious, trained killers. And through the whole time, he was just chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The governor actually liked him, but there was so much pressure by the Qazi and other religious leaders that he had to sentence him to death. After the 22 marketplaces, his executioners, they were so exhausted. "What can we do? You're not dead. We will be killed because you are not dead." And Haridas said, "Oh, you mean my being alive is a disturbance to your life and your happiness? Then I will die." And he dropped dead right then. The executioners were astonished. They were beating him severely all over his body, and he was smiling, and he was chanting, and he was praying for their welfare. They brought doctors who examined him clinically and found that he was dead. There was not the slightest sign of life in his body. So they threw him in the Ganges. The Muslims bury their dead. The Hindus burn their dead. The Hindu leader said, we don't want, he doesn't deserve a Hindu burning ceremony. And the Muslim said he doesn't deserve a burial. So just throw him in the river like a piece of garbage. So he floated down the river for some time, and then he rose from the dead. He just regained his consciousness. He came out of this state of samadhi, and he came out and started having kirtan. At that time, the governor, the qazi, and all the other people that sentenced him, they heard about this, and they went to see what a miracle he performed, and they all touched his feet and surrendered and began to chant the names of Krishna. Later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared, he called Haridas during the Mahaprakash at Srivas Thakur's house, and he began to glorify Haridas Thakur's qualities to all his devotees. He said, do you know something? When those demons were beating him with canes through the 22 marketplaces, they were causing such suffering upon him. I cannot tolerate it. But he kept chanting the holy name. And one who takes shelter of my name, I must protect. So therefore, I took my Sudarshan Chakra and I ordered my Sudarshan Chakra, you kill those demons at once. But my Sudarshan Chakra would not leave my finger. I had no power to release it. And I'll tell you why. Because the entire time that Haridas was being beaten, not only were they beating him, they were dragging him by the hair, they were kicking him with their hard shoes, they were spitting upon him, they were blaspheming him, they were just shouting the most terrible, harsh, cursing words at him. They were smashing his skull with sticks and every bone of his body. All the while, Haridas, his heart was immersed in praying to me that please forgive these people. Please, God, give these people your mercy. They need it so bad. And because of his power of prayer for forgiveness of these people, it defeated my power to want to kill them. The compassion of the devotees has greater power than the wrath of God. By the grace of God. Similarly, Lord Jesus, as he was being crucified, he prayed, God, forgive them, they not know what they do. This is Vaishnavism. This is devotion. In such a pure and true sense. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after explaining this, he said to Haridas, with such love in his eyes, that when I saw that you would not permit me to punish these people, I could not tolerate seeing you suffer. So I covered your body with my own body, but nobody saw it. And to this day, nobody knows the secret of how you were able to survive. And then Lord Chaitanya opened his chadar and showed Haridas and all the other devotees his own back, his own body, all the brutal marks of beatings from those sticks was on Lord Chaitanya's body. He said, I have accepted them on your behalf, because under such a situation of never giving up my service, you are constantly chanting my name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of course, how can we imitate such great personalities? but we can follow in their footsteps. We may not be able to do what Haridas did, but we can follow what he said. To chant the holy name sincerely in a humble state of mind. To associate with saintly people, as the prime goal of our life should be that association. To associate with devotees of the Lord is the means by which we develop the proper qualities by which we can chant the holy name with quality. This is the teaching of Haridas Thakur. And there should be no priority or not even a consideration that is more important or significant in our life than this. We should plan and organize our life to the finest detail in such a way that it facilitates the best and the most association with devotees and the strongest and purest sadhana of hearing the glories and chanting his names. This is what Haridas has taught us. If you associate with worldly people and begin to make your priorities in life worldly pursuits, you can chant and chant and chant, and it will have minimal effects. Keep your mind with Krishna. And we find in the lives of all the great souls of ancient times and in modern times, this one principle to be always shining like the sun, to give light to our lives. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught that anyone, even an animal, can be empowered to spread the glories of love of God if they simply learn how to associate with the Lord's devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.